Welcome to Boys and Brunch. This is the show where we expose everything going down on the timeline, and we've got some interesting topics to talk about today. We're going to talk about Balenciaga's sagging pants. Then we're going to move into this video. It's like a clip of a, like, I don't know whether it's an Instagram Live or something. I don't know. We'll get into it, but it's like Raven's girlfriend's hairstyle and what was said during the video. That got a lot of people talking. And then we're going to move into celebrity couples. I'll let you know which celebrities. Well, I guess I'll let you know. We're talking about like the good and the bad of celebrity couples. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about J-Lo and Ben Affleck and Nicki Minaj and her husband, Eddie. And then we're going to end the show with an interesting TikTok that was, I guess, I don't know if it was viral, but a lot of people were talking about it, and it's like leaving somebody for having a messy house. So I'm Jared D. King. I am joined by Mama Shay and Khalid Rivera. Hello, hello.
Hello.
So why don't you guys give us like a quick update? Let us know what you've been up to. Mama Shay, why don't we start with you? Let us know what's been going on. What have you been up to?
My entire week has been petty. I have lived in the petty, embraced it. It's just been one of those weeks. I had to put a coworker in her place on record. My intern quit with no, absolutely.
Wow.
She came in and she was like, hey, so sorry, this is my last day. Here's my stuff. And I was like, okay, but you can go for the person in the company that is working on five positions and you were merely an assistant. That is not okay. And then petty about some people who owe me money. And then I am drinking a cute little apple teeny today.
Very nice. Oh, very nice.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. Khalid, what about you? What's been going on with you?
Well, just organizing my stuff because, you know, packing up to move. So it's just a lot of packing and organizing. And then to just kind of ease my mind, I've been, you know, I love tennis. So I've been watching the U.S. Open and I can't wait for the men's finals. Like, I'm like so glued to my laptop and then on my phone when I'm out and about to see what's been going on. So it's been a thrilling U.S. Open this year, and I can't wait to see the men's finals.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that. I've read headlines. I haven't watched it religiously. Like, I love to play tennis, and I like to watch tennis sometimes, but I've never really gotten that deep into it where I know, like, a bunch of the players and all their history and, you know, all that stuff. I'm actually supposed to play tennis later on today. We'll see.
Okay.
I hope I can get my...
Where he's moving. Like, I just heard moving. Like, are you going across the city? Are you going next door? Are you going?
I'm just going to go to another location. I'll just say that because, you know, I know I have some people that they like to be stalking me and they're probably watching this shit and I'm not going to say anything yet. So.
Okay. Wait, are we moving with the new boo? Can we let...
Oh, no. That's too soon. Oh, my
God.
That's
why I'm like, wait. Hold on.
Yeah, no. Oh, no, no. No, it's just, you know, moving on. It's time to... move somewhere else, you know, need more space, need my own.
So wait, that's a good question though, because like, what is going to be the status between you and this new guy if you move?
Well, you know, we're working that out.
Okay. Well, I hope it works out in your favor. And I guess for me, just this past week, I have been, I don't know, I think I was telling you guys before we went live that I went on a bike ride, ended up in some hashtag street shenanigans. And
where is Ty? Yeah. I need him to sign on.
Yeah, no, he coined the phrase connected is in the chat with us. And he knows exactly what street shenanigans entail. I only have a sparkling water today. Khalid, I don't think I got your drink today. Are you?
Hold on, let me get, you know.
Is it like tea? Orange juice?
No, tea, just some leftover tea, you know, some ginger lemon tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sundays, I always like to start with tea, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Saturdays, you know, you party and drink, everything.
Though. Y'all left me to be a lush by myself. I don't know how I feel about that.
it's all good. But yeah, also I have to make a little bit of an announcement to our viewers that this is going to be the first of our three final episodes for Boys and Brunch. That is because I am creating a new podcast, and I will have more details about that in the coming weeks. But I want everybody to stay tuned for that. But yeah, it's, you know, I really enjoyed doing this show, and I don't know. It's not the end yet. We still got a few more episodes to go, so I'm not going to go into, I'm not going to get so deep into it, but I did want to make that quick announcement to you guys. The things, we will continue, but we will have a different, or I will continue at least with a different podcast, and it will have a different feel to it, a different bunch of topics and stuff. So look forward to that. But Mama Shay, you did pull a card for us before we begin. Pulled an oracle card. So why don't you let us know the type of energy we are bringing today on Boys and Brunch before we jump into our first topic.
So I am mildly amused. I shuffled, I cut the cards three times, and we have a familiar card that is New Birth Guarded Vigilantly.
Okay.
And so if you guys remember, this was back with Jared's like opposition to his new transitions and such. So, you know, while I guess there can be good and, or not, I'm going to say good and bad. There can be, you know, all the way and then not enough as far as the spectrum of how to do things goes. And so while, you know, Jared is moving into his new stuff, it's, I feel like it's almost self-explanatory. You already were just like, hey, so there's a new thing coming. So it's like you're letting the birth happen, but you're still kind of guarding it as far as details and things like that. But that then applies to all of the new things that we were talking. You know, Khalid is moving. I will be interviewing for a new intern. So it's all these like, you know, just birthing new things, but like guard it vigilantly, because there are still some old things in our lives that can come back and try to like steal either the focus of it, or you know, you can see a recurring problem or something like that, and it's like, you know, guard your new thing from all the old things that can come back and kind of be habit and hindrance.
Interesting. Okay, I'd be interested, like I have to think about that as we go through our top, that relates to the content that we're going to be talking about. We'll see. You know, we've got some new things to talk about. Why don't we just jump into Balenciaga's sagging pants? Let me share the screen here, and I'm just going to share a nice little video for you guys. Oh goodness, here we go. If I can get the play button here.
This is Frizzinos. Racist. This feels racist.
They used to sag their pants.
This feels very racist, it guys. Is. Balenciaga. Kai! They have woven the boxers inside the trousers. Kai!
Yeah, so that's that. Basically, for our podcast listeners, what the guy said is that they've woven the boxers inside of the actual pants. So it looks like you're sagging, but you're not really sagging your pants. It's just the style of sagging. And then they have Balenciaga on the front of it. And it's just like, so many thoughts, but I really want to start. Let's just start with Mama Shay. What do you think about this?
I want to add that these were like $1,100 to $1,200 pants. It wasn't they were even in the hundreds. You're talking
about the actual price was $1,190.
Okay, yes.
Ooh.
So right. $1,190 and not $11.90. You know, go ahead and move that little period. Besides the just overarching, obviously this is a racial thing. Besides that, which like that's a big part of it. But then you look at it, number one, they're just ugly. If you wear these more than once, it's going to be one of those like you don't change your boxers. Like that's somebody seams are going to rip, or somebody's going to try and get pants. Like I could just see this, because I see it as a bunch of like dude bros trying to be like, these are my comfy weekend wear, or something. And like just mayhem is going to ensue. and it's going to be fun to watch. But, you know, obviously with our Black community getting arrested and stopped and all the other racial profiling things that go on for dressing this way, and now you're going to put a price tag not only of nearly $1,200 on it, but you're going to sell it to mainly non-Black people to make it cool. Mm-hmm. It's a recurring theme as far as that goes.
Yeah. Connected is in the chat. He says, I don't think that these are racist. I think they're ugly and a bad look. He continues saying, sagging pants isn't a Black thing, yet mm-hmm. the look evolved into a street slash urban look right. in the late 90s.
Society-wise, it is a Black thing.
Yeah, that's yeah, the only thing.
Society-wise, but not only a Black thing, but it's more of a African American thing, because you know those are Africans that you can tell, you know, their accent. Because I just know, just being in New York, and you know, speaking to other people about this, and you know, I work with all different types of people. I know that when it comes to this style, I know that Africans, that's not their thing. I know a lot of Caribbean people, that's not their style. So this is more like a African American societal thing, although I wouldn't say it's a Black thing, but just going what you're saying, it just looks bad. I never liked the style anyways. I never understood that anyways, because I mean, you can walk down the street and literally the guy's like showing his entire butt. I'm like, the pants are below the butt. I'm like, you might as well just walk around with no pants on. You might as well just walk around showing your booty, because I'm like, okay. And that's not, I guess, quote unquote gay, or that's not inappropriate, or I just think the look is just horrible. It's like, what are you advertising?
Yeah, well, okay. So I agree that I'm not necessarily a fan of the look. But I will say that it is, like, when you think of it, it's definitely attributed to Black people. And so that's why this is problematic.
Yeah,
because, mm-hmm. like, now they have passed legislation to stop people from wearing their pants like this.
That's
there are laws on the books. And now all of a sudden, you know, let's make $1,100 off of it. Without even the try of trying to like make a statement out of it and saying, you know, this is just a fashion thing, that, you know, this is just how people, you know, and like, I would say like the only way that they would be able to get away with this is if they like donate the profits to like, you know, fighting that legislation or something, or making it, taking the stigma away or something.
Like, you know, they're not going to do that.
This is obviously just completely, you know, profiting off of the craziness that this is all brought about. Mm-hmm. And I think let's see. Real Talk with Samaj saying, I think a lot of these designers do these things now for publicity at this point, and for attention.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean. I would kind of agree with that. Is there anything else that we had missed about this? I'm just going to be honest. My niece came up and distracted me while you were talking, Khalid. So I didn't get to hear everything that you had to say. But yeah, that's the joy of
I don't have nothing else to say about it.
No. Okay. So what is the most you've spent on an item? Like, as we said, this is 11. This is like... $1,190. What is the most you have spent on an item of clothing?
Oh, I don't know.
I know the exact price. It's $127.44 on my Letterman's jacket in high school.
Really? You haven't gone over 100? Are we, well, like, not past that?
I keep things forever, and I just don't. I'm not really a clothes person. I'm a comfy person, and whatever I can get away with that.
Got you. What about you, Khalid?
I don't know. That's hard to go back.
Well, I mean, like, what's like the most expensive item you have, or like, do you go like $300, $400 items? Or more?
I'm not sure if that was the price, but I know I have a fur coat that was rather expensive. I just don't know how much it was. I can't think, but it's rabbit, you know, and it's real and it looks fabulous. And I don't care what y'all say about it. I don't care. I'm gonna wear it. It looks good.
All right. Well, look, I'm not gonna fight you on that.
Because you know how people lie with the whole fur thing, but I'm like, but you eat meat, you wear leather. Okay, then.
But I think the most that I spent, I bought like a $400, like, what do you call it? Like a overcoat almost, or I forget. I like, now I can't even think about the, it's like a top coat, I think they call it. Where you can like wear it over a blazer or something, okay. When it's like, you know, cold, like one of those long top
like
coats.
Almost a trench coat, but not a trench coat. Like that's
yeah. Uh-huh, it looks really nice. It's from Zara.
Oh yeah, Zara. They always have their stuff pricey. Was, yeah.
Huh?
Zara always has their stuff a little pricey.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I loved it. I wore it a couple times. Not often, but I love it. But yeah, when I have the money. I will splurge on a nice jacket. Like jackets seem to be my thing. I'm like a jacket freak. That's just me.
So I guess fall is like your favorite season then, because you get to wear the jackets.
Fashion wise, yes. Mm-hmm. weather wise, no. I do like warm weather.
Okay.
But yeah, that's kind of me.
So with this jacket, do you just wear it on special occasions? Because my fur, I don't wear that all the time. I just wear it, you know, for special events and occasions, you know, to make a statement.
Of course. I mean, you know, you can't wear, like, you got a special item like that. You can't just wear that all the time. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You got to wear that once in a blue moon.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really had a lot of special occasions to really wear that jacket at, but... you know, it's nice to dress up once in a while. I love dressing up. I have just, you know, I've just been so stuck in the house lately that it's like dressing up is like, has not been a thing. Mm. So I'm happy. I'll be happy in the next couple of years when we get back to actually being able to go out a little bit more, mm-hmm. and, you know, showing people what I'm made of. Fashion-wise,
yeah.
Okay. So anyway, we've got another...
Up. Because you start looks. I love seeing you dress up. Like, anytime we go out, I'm like, wait, I got to get myself together because I already know how Jared's going to be.
Okay. So,
like, I can't do no leggings and a hoodie. We're going to have to.
No.
Not that I would do that to, like, a club or something. Just saying, like, that's my normal, is that really relaxed look. So when I go out with him, I'm like, okay, wait, let me put myself together.
You know, I don't judge. I'm like, I don't care what you wear, but I might be a little bit extra. It's like sometimes I might be overdressed, depending on which friends I'm with, you know, and where we're going. I might do a little too much, but I mean, I guess that's just me.
That means you stand out fashion.
Karen's, you stand out, and who knows? You can find your next husband or somebody. You never know. Hey.
All for it. All right, so we've got the second topic. We're going to talk about this video with Raven Simone and her wife. Let me put this on the screen. Let me make sure I get the right. I think it's this one. Okay.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that they're married.
We, however, already had our lunch. And that's just how it, see, babes, they like your hair. We were like, well, actually her sister was like, people are going to say you're cultural appropriation. I'm like, she married a black girl. Calm down.
But also this just is like cute braids. Like it shouldn't necessarily, like if black girls rock this more often, well, that's because they're smart. Because this is a sweet, cute ass hairstyle. And it does good things for the baby hair. Like, I have curly hair. This is so fun.
This is so perfect for you. I love you guys. Oh, they're so proud of you wearing your hair down. Thanks.
Okay, so that was the quick clip. It was just like a little excerpt of like a longer video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mama Shay is shaking her head. I just want to know what is on your mind as you watch that.
I am embarrassed. These are the videos that they show why they don't accept biracial people. These are the videos. I'm just like, no, can you stop making us look bad, please? Like, I fight too hard. Any other day for you to be out here proving why it's not the same. But in addition to that, you being married to someone, like, she married a black girl. Okay, and that's like saying she has a black child, so now she's black. It doesn't work that way. You're adjacent. You might be more adjacent than others, but you still, no. And you're adjacent to someone who's biracial, so let's be real. And then on top of it, the baby hairs. And she was like, my hair is so curly, sweetie, it's not.
Yeah, it's not curly.
You know, that was the thing. It was like, I didn't, if they hadn't said anything, I would not have, like, picked up on anything. Like,
yeah.
You know exactly what I'm saying? Like, the fact that they even felt like they needed to say something, I think, is what they just kind of drew attention to this and made this a thing, you know, unwillingly. The braids themselves, I'm not too upset over.
Because I've seen little girls wear those. I mean, since I was little, little girls would wear all different types of braids. Like, you know, like in every corner they had the braids, you know, or just the two braids.
Yeah, but the thing is like, you know, her with the baby hairs and stuff. That's
had
not
to create baby
hairs.
Yeah,
she created
not actually
that
baby hair.
Right. So that was like, okay, now you're doing a little bit extra.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She could have just smoothed them back.
That's right.
Just smooth them back. Just be like, I wanted a swoop too. Okay. Like that would, but not am I baby hairs. You don't have them.
And some they do that because if they feel that their forehead is too big, then they'll create either bangs or the baby hair to kind of shape out their face better so it doesn't look like they have a five head.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, so I'm not even necessarily mad at their presence, but like how she referred
to it. How she referred it, yeah, is the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of people were talking about that. I mean, are the braids cultural appropriation? I mean, let's take away the baby hair comment or the braids themselves cultural. I mean, because I think like braids, if they're not like specifically like an African style,
mm-hmm.
then yeah. I wouldn't say that it's cultural appropriation. I don't know.
Without the baby hair, I feel like if she had just smoothed it back, it would have been like whatever, she got braids.
Yeah.
Like
agree.
They're not yeah. like cornrows would have been, you know, I've seen that and more of a
mm-hmm.
for that. But just the hanging down braids, I mean, unless we're going all the way back to, like, what, Debrat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not so much. So that doesn't bother me.
Gotcha.
It's definitely the baby hair and how she referenced it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. agree.
Yeah. So what has your guys' hair journey been? I'm curious to get into this. I know, Mama Shay, you've had a hair journey. I want to start with Khalid, though. Have you ever, like, did you always like your hair? And what are the stories behind your different styles? I know some, I don't think you always had the bang. Or sometimes you had like the straight bang. And,
Well, up to one point I had my hair longer, but it was so difficult to deal with because then you got to blow dry, flat iron that. It's a lot of work. When I was younger, I would always comb it back. All the time, just, you know, just straight combing it back, or sometimes I would spike it up. And then as I got older, I was like, oh, let me just let my hair grow. And naturally, when my hair grows, it grows more towards the front, and then it does this weird thing at a certain point where it splits in the middle. So just mm-hmm. based on just how I just go on, like, how my hair naturally grows, and I notice it grows more towards the front, so then I just blow dry it and style it a certain way, and sometimes I'll, like, have bangs, or I can curl it up, so... You know, that's pretty much it. Nothing too crazy, but
okay.
just going how it naturally grows and just style it like that, because I have thick hair and I have wavy hair too.
Mm-hmm.
So it sometimes takes a little longer, but for me, short is, or keeping it at a decent length is just much easier to handle. Now, if I had my own hairstylist, you know, every single day, I'm like, okay, let's let it grow a little bit more, style it up, but I don't have that. And I don't have patience. I don't want to spend more than a half hour on my hair.
I got you. You know, it's weird. It's like I never thought that I would be that person that was in the hairdresser for more than, like, you know, 40 minutes just to get my hair cut.
Yeah, that's what it takes me. Yeah, it takes a while to shampoo,
yeah,
cut it,
well,
style it,
I mean,
all that stuff.
Now it takes me like two and a half hours to get this done and to get it, like, you know,
okay.
cut on the sides.
Okay.
as you can see, like, and I think I told y'all yesterday that I was at the hairdresser, and then our thing got canceled, so she wasn't able to give me the cut and everything. So I had to come back and do these twists myself, and that was just, it just takes way too long. Especially like natural hairstyles. I know, Mama Shay, you know, it's just like, it's a whole process. What has your hair journey been like? Because I know we met you, I think, for the first time. You had dreads. I will say met you on the show, because I knew you for a long time. But, like, yeah. And now your hair is cut short. What was it like before? What did you always like your hair? Like, what was that whole journey like for you?
So, when I was younger, my mom is white, had no idea what to do with hair. So my hair was like, you know, all the way down my back, grew like literally at my waist. She wasn't sure what to do. She took me to a hairdresser that didn't take into account the like actual texture of my hair. So I got a straightener. It basically broke off all my hair. So it went from like lower back up to this little fro. And then they slapped a curl in it. And it was like that until middle school, high school.
And then
I started straightening my hair again. And it still, we were putting straighteners in it. And I would wear it parted down the middle, just a little bump underneath, a little bob. Then I got sick. My thyroid started acting up, broke my hair off again. And it was like up to my ears. And so then I cut it short, trying to kind of get ahead of the breakage. It was still falling out like in handfuls every time I was in the shower. So that was traumatizing. And I was like, all right, we're going to try locks. And if it doesn't work, then we're just going to fade it. Because I couldn't deal with like just handfuls of hair. You know, being in the shower. And just the fact that it was falling out, but then the cleanup and everything, I was like, this is too much. So I started locks. That lasted for 10 years. And it ended the middle of last month. Actually, tomorrow makes a month since I cut them off. During the course of the 10 years, I cut off maybe 6 inches altogether, just because I would like sit on them and I tried to cut them a little shorter or whatever. And then I finally just cut all of them last month. And so now my hair has, right now, has doubled in length in a month. And so today we are very slicked down because I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Curl wise, cut wise.
Yeah, let it grow a little bit to see. Yeah, you know, that'll be interesting.
Have you always been a fan of your hair texture? Or did you, was there a point at which you kind of wish it was already straight? I mean, I remember you talking about.
Yeah, my sister has landed on. I'm not going to bring that term back. Has landed on a straighter, looser curl. So her hair is very similar to Khalid's, but very fine. So like her ponytail is, if she puts all of it up, even if it's very long at that time, it's going to be less than the size of a quarter. My hair, especially in locks, I literally couldn't fit my entire hand around it. So I have super thick, you know, just on the thicker, what more people would stereotype as African-American hair. And so there were times where I was just like, oh, I wish my hair grew like hers or whatever, just because it was like a favored thing. And when it was time to do my hair, there were complaints. And they were like, oh, thank goodness your sister has easier hair. And so
that is so cruel.
But it was just like, you know, for her, it was easier. So she wasn't trying to be cruel with it. It wasn't even really said necessarily in a mean way. But, you know, looking back, it's like, yeah, it definitely didn't make me have a good association with my hair.
Where did you grow up? In Philadelphia?
No. So I was Midwest for the first 10 years. The second, I guess, 8 to 10 years, I was in Florida.
See, that's the problem, because see, this is why a lot of people, they'll prefer to go, especially in New York City, they go to the Dominican salon, because Dominican women, they know how to do all types of hair, because you have, they have hair like mine, or they have hair that's like, you know, really, you know, more Afrocentric hair. So they know how to deal with all types of hair across the spectrum. And that's why they'll go there and they hook it up. They hook it up. Everybody knows that you want to get your hair done, and it's not the typical, I guess, European white girl hair. You go to the Dominicans, they hook you up, and they know what to do.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, I remember being a little kid, and, you know, just like all the movies and stuff I would watch, it would be like these little white kids with, like, you know, their perfect hair and everything. And I remember I just kind of wanted that. I always wanted that. And I, you know, my hair was always cut short. I was never able to actually style it anyway. I had actually, I don't know. I mean, this is me as a kid. I had actually gotten like some, what do you call it? Like cardboard paper. And I like cut out the little slits, and then I tried to like tape it around. Aww. Like, I mean that, and that's the type of stuff that nobody really, I guess, it's like, it's one of those undercover things that happens when there isn't representation, and why representation is so important. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's like, it's moments like that where it's like, you know, why it was so important for me, I guess, to kind of write the books that I have written, to kind of put more people, put different people out there, you put different characters out there that you don't normally see on TV.
That's because,
you know, the media is very powerful in some very undercover ways that you don't really, you know until you get older and you actually reflect back on those things.
So but with your characters, have you modeled any of them into like your vision of you or someone else, I guess?
I will say in the first book I wrote, Pangea Unsettled Land, the main character Slade and I share some personality traits, but I would not say he's like a carbon copy of me at all. You know, I think it's easy to kind of start there, especially with my first start with something, you know. So it kind of started there, but as I continued to develop the book, he kind of became his own person. But yeah, I wouldn't say I don't think I'd modeled anyone else. I'm trying to think if there was anybody. I'm sure I made out of somebody. There's the character in the book who I modeled after all of the F boys that I've come across. So that's something. So yeah, if you read the book, you'll know who I'm talking about. Speaking of F-boys, let's talk about celebrity couples. So I guess we can start with Nicki Minaj and her husband, Kenneth Petty. It was in the news that he pled guilty for failing to register as a sex offender in California. What are your guys' thoughts on this relationship between the two of them? And, you know, it was interesting because I personally don't have a whole lot to say about them specifically, because I feel like, you know, it's just like, I don't know, it's just very simple for me, but I feel like maybe you guys may have something else to add here. So what are your thoughts? Maybe Khalid, we'll start with you.
It's extremely embarrassing for Nicki and Mr. Petty. Why didn't he register? Like, I feel sorry more for her, but I feel embarrassed for him. It's just like, and then I could imagine as well, what's the drama and the tension with her family? Because I'm sure there's going to be people in her family that don't approve of this. And now this situation happens. Like, come on, you know the rules. He knew better. It's disappointing and it's embarrassing. And I don't know, this is probably going to create even more drama with her family. And I wouldn't be surprised if Nicki has cut ties with certain people in her family that would disapprove of this. I'm sure there's people that they disapprove of this marriage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mama Shay, anything else to add there?
So it's weird. I have, I guess, kind of a two-tiered answer. Number one, thank you, Connected, though, for saying that I'm cute with my fro. I'm definitely loving it lately. But as for Nicki, like, we talk a lot about restorative justice and things like that. Is there, I guess mine is kind of a question, is there any coming back from sexually violating someone. You know, we talk about how we accept apologies or we don't think it's going to, you know, it's really a thing. It's a PR stunt, whatever. But like in this situation, is there any coming back ever for that? And then on the other hand, I agree that it's just embarrassing that, like, you know, if you're going to be associated with this man, at least make sure all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted. You know, they just had that whole accusation where they were like allegedly bullying this girl to back down or take the charges back or something like that. And, you know, true or not, to do this on top of it, it's like, you know, pull back, try to protect your image by doing at least what you're required to do.
Right.
Absolutely. That D must be real good, honey, for her to put up with all that. My Lord.
I mean, you know, to answer your question, I don't think, I mean, personally, there is no coming back from that for me. But I mean, I guess, you know, the bar is different for everyone else. And, you know, he was, I'm not excusing anything at all, but if he is able to, if he is able to kind of be in a different space than where he was before, then okay. And good luck to y'all, because I would not, you know, that's just something I just would not want to be involved with. But so yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I stand with it. But we also have J-Lo and Ben Affleck on the other side of the spectrum, who made their relationship red carpet official at the premiere of The Last Duel. So what are your thoughts on the Bennifer relationship? Khalid, why don't we start with you? Because I feel like you have the celeb... I think feel like you have more thoughts about the celebrity couple.
I don't think it's going to last. I kind of feel like they both are each other's rebounds. J-Lo, clearly, she's a woman that she can't be alone. She always has to have a man. And to me, it comes across that she's one of those women that she feels she is a failure or not a real woman if she doesn't have a man by her side. And she has, to me, she has a lot of insecurities that she just cannot be alone at all. And then as soon as she breaks up with somebody or they break up with her, it's like rebound after rebound. She doesn't give herself time to be by herself and heal. She's like, I gotta get over this one, so I'm gonna get with another man real quick. Ben Affleck, we know he has his alcohol and drug, you know, substance abuse, and he has anger management problems. So both of them together, they're problems. I just don't see that it's going to last long.
Mama Shay, how do you feel about that?
I do feel like there's possibly, you know, obviously it's not like we've talked and sat with these people. but with all the issues that Khalid was just speaking about, like maybe there's some weird codependency type of thing. You know, but at the same time, I know they've been apart for several years. So it's kind of like, well, they are two very different people than they were when they were there together. You're dating someone familiar, but you're not dating someone you know at that point. So I'm interested to see what happens. Sometimes, you know, as much as we talk about our revolving doors and rebounds, sometimes that rebound, especially several years later, will actually work out really well.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
You know, I am a rom-com watcher. And so, you know, I always that idea of like, not that I completely subscribe to this idea, but that idea of like your one true love or something. It's like, it's almost like a trope in romantic novels or in rom-coms and stuff. Maybe this is just it for them. And that was kind of what I got seeing her jump from A-Rod to Ben Affleck. Like maybe she really, really kind of had a thing for Ben Affleck and they needed some time apart, and to see her just jump from one person to the other, it kind of, I don't necessarily see it as her struggling. I just kind of see it as her being even more sure of the relationship or the connection that she had with Ben Affleck. And maybe, yeah, I don't know. And this is just me reading into it, just the same way you guys are, but kind of in a different way. So yeah, you know, I'm just like, maybe this is that one true love pairing that you, well, you know, to put a rom-com term on it.
And because she might not have gotten over Ben because she moves.
That's like, right.
The speed mm-hmm. of light. So she could have been holding a small torch for him all this time. Like, but if, you know, I'm doing this now, but if he ever comes back, you know, that might've just been like her one person. Like if that particular person comes back, it's over. And mm-hmm. he finally came back. So, you know, I wouldn't be like, well, no, stay with the other person and work it out just because you've done this before. So.
Right. I totally agree, because looking back at all the men that she's been with, I've never seen her as giddy, like the way she would look at Ben, like how she was with other people. Not even with Mark Anthony, even though her and Mark Anthony, that was the longest relationship, but it just wasn't the same, how she would look at Ben. And remember, you know, it fell apart because, you know, Ben Affleck's, you know, family at the time, his mother didn't want him to marry Jennifer. And that's why the relationship, you know, ended, because it ended just a few days. The wedding was supposed to happen. So I know J-Lo was devastated. You know, she is head over heels over this man. And then this happens, and it's kind of like beyond her control in a sense, because other people don't want them to be together.
This is her, the one that got away.
Yeah. That's it.
Connected is saying their situationship comes across as toxic. Also, her kids are affected.
Absolutely, her kids. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, I guess you can read what you want into this. It can be toxic. It can be beautiful. It can be, you know, wherever. And nobody really knows but that. Right. As far as the kids are concerned, you know, I just don't know if there is a way to completely insulate, you know, as a public figure, I don't know if there's a way to completely insulate your kids from the effects of your personal life, your dating life. If you're out in front of you're in front of cameras, everybody's talking about you, you know, hopefully she's managing. I'm sure she is. She's managing that as well as she can. So yeah, you know, I wish them the best, but let me bring this to a more personal place. Have you ever taken people back? Have you ever, no? It's like, once you're done with somebody, you're done.
Yeah, it's very hard for me. Once I've emotionally and spiritually moved on, it's very hard for me to go back. And I always believe in moving forward in life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of the same way, for the most part, I will say. Once I am done, like, I'm done. I'm not going back there, because I already know what this is. I mean, I think that's that logical side of me. It's just wait. And I'm not saying anybody else is illogical. I'm just saying, you know, the way my brain processes things, it's more logical versus emotional. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I know what this goes to. And so I don't want to go there. And I, you know, I'm not going to do all the work it takes to see if I can change this person, or if I can have a different circumstance. I mean, you know, I think the whole saying of the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And yeah, I'm trying to keep my sanity. But yeah, I mean, I think there has been a moment where I entertained people who in one circumstance, but you know, I got the proof that I needed from that, you know, basically, like, you know, what the hell are you doing? So stop, you know. So that's my whole thing. I will move on if I'm done. Mama Shay, how about you?
I have my one person that's the revolving door. But outside of that, I know my tendency is to like compensate and try everything before I leave the first time. So typically there's no like go back, because if I left, it was for a very specific reason.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it was like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Gotcha. But do you aim to be friends with the people that you break up with? I mean, is it a natural thing, or is it something that you try to work on as well? Because I feel like that's also a certain energy as well. Because I will say personally, I don't work to be friends with somebody that I broke up with. I mean, in my mind, I'm like, okay, if we are friends and we had an amicable ending of things and we end up as friends, then that's one thing. But for me to call you and try to hang out with you and put the effort out there to build a friendship or to continue this as a friendship, I'm not putting that energy out there once we break up. You know what I'm
Yeah,
saying?
same here.
Yeah, if it's amicable, I don't mind it. You know, especially if it's something that like I always did with that person. Not like let's go on a date, you know, but like I don't know, we always rode bikes at the park at like 6 o'clock p.m. on Sundays. You know, I'll be like, hey, are you going to show up today or do I need to find like another partner? Like, I'm still going to keep this schedule or something like that. So, you know, it's not going to be like, hey, you know, our favorite show is The Simpsons and it always comes on at 7. Are you coming to hop on my couch? You know, but some of the more social things that we were like partners in there don't necessarily have to end if we're amicable and friends.
I will say, Mama Shay, I feel like you keep, I won't say that you keep doors open, but I feel like you maintain relationships even after ending maybe the going down the road to romantic
Oh,
relationships.
absolutely. I think it's because of how I approach it in the beginning, though. So for me, like, I have to be very close friends with you for there to even be a possibility of another attraction. Like, I'm never going to be attracted to you if I don't know you well and appreciate you as a person. So after that, especially if we ended amicably, it's like, okay, so I don't like necessarily the way you give or receive love and it doesn't vibe with mine. That's okay. That doesn't mean that we can't still be friends and have a really decent friendship.
Yeah, but see, I have to differ with you there because it's like if I don't feel like you are capable of providing the love and whatever else that I need in a romantic sense, how can I expect you to give that to me in a platonic friendship sense? And I think that that's where I'm coming from, where it's just like, you know, I hate to use the word cut off, and but you know I'm good to cut somebody off. I mean, the bridge is very different that way. You know, and it's just we have a very different way of relating with people that we're like done with, you know. You know, but it's basically that's kind of what it is. It's like, you know, when I'm done, I'm like, I'm for all intents and purposes, I'm basically cutting you off, and that's we're not talking anymore.
See, like, I don't require of my friends what I do of my romantic partners. That's definitely a different level. So I'm like, okay, you couldn't cut it here, but we were good here. And because I definitely value friends who I can actually call friends, not people who get in the circle and act up and have to be kicked out, you know, but like those amicable, those ones that honestly really get me. I'm just not letting those go that easily.
Okay, so my last question on this was why does it always seem to be the same people that we are kind of entangled with? They always seem to pop back up. They always seem to send you that text on a lonely Friday winter's night. You up? What's
Come on,
up?
rom-com.
But you know, it's just like, why do y'all keep popping up? Why and like what causes us to meet new people? That's what I just find it interesting that, you know, we end up in these cycles with these same people. It almost feels like, you know, you've met everybody that you're going to actually have any potential anything with. So you know, somewhere along the way you picked wrong or they picked wrong and you just got to wait for them to get right with God or something and come on back. Do y'all feel the same way or is it like?
Familiarity is a beast. Comfort and familiarity is a beast. And it doesn't mean you're getting your needs met. It means you're comfortable. You got used to it. That many a times will serve well above the purposes of needing some sort of companionship if you are feeling lonely while alone. You know, there's that huge difference between being alone and feeling lonely. And so when you are just alone and you're good with that, I don't think it's quite as big of a deal. But when it's because you're lonely, it's like speaking that comfort and familiarity is speaking to that little core of whatever hollow you're feeling at that moment.
Coley, what were your thoughts when I was talking about the same people popping up? I saw a lot of facial expressions.
There's only one. I mean, I try to avoid that at all costs because I'll block people. It's like once I'm done, I'm done. But now, you know, with social media, it's just that they can, you know, find you. But there's one that just once in a blue, he'll just pop up, you know, hey, how you doing, whatnot. And I'm like, you know, I keep it very nice and polite and cordial. But I don't go out of my way to be like, yeah, let's meet again. Let's hang out. I don't do any of that stuff because I...
Well, what about blocking people? Do you guys block people? Because I'll block people, too, if they...
It depends on how it ended. Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I use, not on my text messages anyway.
Oh, I do.
But Twitter.
I feel like me and Khalid are probably on the same wavelength as far
yeah,
as
yeah, I'm like, no, go away. Like, that's the end. I guess for me too, like I said, I always like really, really care for my friends and stuff. So it's like, if you have no one else, then, you know, depending on what it is, I would like to help, even if we're not on that level anymore. If you're just out there and it's like, you know, some urgent or very strenuous matters or whatever, I'm not like, I cared for you at one time. So I'm not just going to like leave you out there in the cold. And I know a lot of people are like, oh gosh, people just use you and what have you. It's not like I am very... like I'm not very stringent with that. You're just not gonna come asking me for $20 all the time or something like that. But you know, extraneous circumstances happen, and I don't want anyone to feel like they literally have no one.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's so beautiful of you.
I know.
I can't do it, and I understand how that sounds and everything.
It's beautiful. I commend you for that.
I'm dying. Connected is saying, I think blocking is immature unless it's a safety issue.
Yeah, it's a safety issue for my emotional, spiritual, and brain and well-being, honey. For my aura.
Especially if they are, because I am real quick, like if they're super disrespectful or something like that, I will figure it out how to block you. I don't do it often enough to remember, but I will figure it out if you don't know how to stay in line. So that's like the other side of that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll block people. Like, okay, so I'll block people usually if it gets to a disrespectful place. If there's an understanding that we're not talking anymore and you're not going to continue to like chat with me or try to, you know, just come up out of the blue with a chat message, then, you know, I'm okay leaving it alone and archiving the text, or, you know, I'm good for a, you know, delete the number that the text is associated with and archiving it so that if you decide to pop up, I'll be like, who is this? Genuinely. You know what I'm saying? I'll delete the whole text thread and your number.
I do that when you I definitely do that because anytime someone hits me up and it's number, I'm like, I'm sorry, who is this? I really don't care about your feelings about that point because why did you think you were still in my phone?
Right.
So I don't see like that's an offensive thing asking who are you.
Right. But then they get offended.
Oh, well. Who? Oh, I don't know her.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I did have one more video that I wanted to share, and I don't know if we could, I mean, this is just like, I guess it's a crazy TikTok video. And basically, you know, let me just share it and then we'll talk about it real quick. Okay. We only have a few minutes, but I think it's worthwhile. Pull this up on the screen. Here we go.
Well, I met this girl online. What was it? A couple of weeks ago. She came to pick me up Thursday. Stay right till Saturday. Saturday, I realized these bitches wasn't for me. Because when I woke up motherfucking Friday morning, this motherfucking bitch house looked like this. I'm sorry, these bitches be selling other dreams, my boys. Be looking all good, but living in a motherfucking house like this. I left my job, but called my boss back the same motherfucking day and told him, bro, I need my motherfucking job back because I am coming back to work Tuesday. And I sent him this video. He was like, yeah, you can come back to work Tuesday. Look at this nasty ass shit, boys.
Yeah, so there's so much wrong in that, like, there are just so many layers of wrong going on. Like, first of all, I don't even know where to start.
The nerve. Start with the nerve and audacity.
His accent was everything.
An unkept house to keep that level of an unkept house. The audacity to bring someone in when it's at that level. But you met them a couple weeks ago. She had to pick you up, so you don't have a car. Where were you living that she just picked you up and you could abandon? That's a relative or a friend's house.
That's right.
So you don't have a car. You don't have a house. You did have a job, but we're so ready to let this woman pay for everything, apparently. I'm off. So I wouldn't see that. It wasn't no six-figure job. So, sorry, sir, if all she wants you to do is be a house husband, get to cleaning, boo.
For real. Okay, so that's the other thing. It's like, good if you point. Don't like it, you in a relationship, like, okay, so this is the thing. It's like, you're in a relationship now. You know, you signed up, you're like,
you signed up for this. You up, so.
I mean, you know, so if you don't like it, clean it up. Make it a happy home.
That's right.
You're there. You ain't, I mean, you're not going to work right now, so you have all day. What are you? You're gonna blast her house on TikTok, and expect the world not to get on both of your cases.
Mm-hmm. And not just that, you stayed there. You said Tuesday. You said Thursday to Tuesday, or Thursday to Saturday. You stayed there. You saw that and didn't say Uber.
Right. He didn't leave immediately. I just thought that was so funny, but yeah, I understand why he was ready to leave. I would not be staying there. I would not move into somebody's house after a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a little fast.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I mean, it seemed like he said he met her what, online?
Online a few weeks ago.
So, I don't even, like, did they even see each other in, like, I don't even know if they saw each other in person.
Right.
That there were multiple beds, so I'm like, is this a roommate situation? Is
mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on with that? And then you show in, like, the empty fridge, or the, but you've been eating out of it. You have not been starving for 2 days, mm-hmm. or even, like, you didn't even cook. So you were habitating in that happily.
Goodness. Any final thoughts on this before we bounce, Cully?
I just loved his commentary, his accent. It was just amazing. And then the funny part where he called his boss and was like, I need the job back. And then he shared the video and the boss, oh yeah, you coming back to work. Yeah, I can't have you living like that. I just think it's so hilarious, but I'm not surprised because, well, I'm not friends with them anymore, but I knew girls, dropped it gorgeous from head to toe. They had it all down, but their house was filthy. And you know, the stereotype that guys are messier than girls. I'm sorry, in this day and age, that's becoming a lot less and less and less. It's like the lines are coming together. It's really not true anymore. And I mean, I've been to places where I'm like, damn girl, this is nasty and it smells bad. I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, when you expect to get a boyfriend or a husband, I was like, I'll never go back to that place. I will never go back to that. And I can't help but think was like, if that's how you are, because I'm a firm believer in like how you handle one thing is how you handle everything. I'm like, if she's like that with all her stuff, I'm like, well, how is she, you know, personal hygiene wise, if she's not, if she ain't going to the club, then how is she on an everyday basis? And it's just a lot of things. I'm just like, this is pretty disgusting. And I'm sure, you know, if you're cooking, I will never eat food that you cooked that place, knowing I know that that's how you live. Oh, I made this. I'm not even that shit.
No, absolutely not. You know, it's so funny because, like, I feel like your house is a reflection of your mental state, or at least it is for me.
Yes.
I know when my room needs to be cleaned up and is a little messy, I'm a little bit messy in the head. And I know that when I clean up and when I'm like, everything is tidy, then I feel so much better. And, you know, like my environment is just, it just always feels like a reflection. So if that is indeed the case with what's going on here, then you know, they're going to need to call the hoarders people, and they're going to need to call Iyanla, and they're going to have to do like a crossover segment or something. fix their life. But anyway, that's our show for today. I want to thank you guys for joining us, everyone in the chat for joining us. We are at, let me pull up our okay, so I'm at Jared D. King. Mama Shay is at love_eternal. And Khalid is at Khalid Rivera. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And I think that's about it. Let's just do our quick toast, everyone. And let's bounce out. I have like...
They got some tea.
A teaspoon of sparkling water left in this glass. But be careful what you say, because the boys and girls will brunch. Take care.